First Baptist Church of Redmond, May 4th, 2014, The Easy Button.
Thank you very much. I have never done a little study in the book of Galatians before. So this is new for me, so I spent a lot of time reading and such as that. And that's kind of the reason we made this for you. Is sometimes I've looked at things, talked about things in the past, and then I don't kind of remember what Pastor said, but this is a new thing for me. So I put this together and decided, if you want to, you can stick it in your Bible, you can put out sometimes. There's a lot of perspectives, a lot of things about the book of Galatians. And so this gives you the idea of how I'm following up on this book. There's a couple of things I just took some quotes from, and one of them is there on the commentary, and that's Bruce. I think he has the right idea on the formation of this book. I think this is one of Paul's, the very first book that Paul has written. We're going to introduce the book today and talk about Galatians, and this can be something you stick in your Bible to kind of go back through. It shows you how to think through the book, at least how I'm thinking through the book. And then, have you seen these commercials, seen these advertisements? So, Staples wants you to go there and not just buy paper and pencils, but they want you to buy their services. They want you to take them the computer to be fixed, the printing they made, the posters to get done, three-hole punches to get three-hole punched, and software to be installed. Why is that? Well, A, it's their business, and so that's how they charge and get income. But they're trying to make sure that we see that it's so much easier to just pay a little bit and let somebody else do it than for me to spend a few minutes, save a few bucks, and get it done myself. And when you look at us, look at the West, look at American culture, we like it a little bit easier, right? We really like things to be more comfortable. We like things to be relaxing. We don't like to get up and change the station. Not even on the radio. We don't even want to turn the page on the book. We can hold on the device, tap the page, and the page will even turn for us. Up in the car, lots of times the lights blink, they come on automatically. I keep reading these stories about cars that connect with GPS and they drive themselves. I've read some things where there's some people who've put some things in roads as tests that the car will track along so it doesn't need a driver. And they say that day is coming. So two things with that is, I guess if that day is coming, I won't be able to complain about other drivers. But B, if that day is coming, then I'll miss all the little things I like to do when I drive. Now, maybe that's a good thing. I'm not sure. But I just can't imagine hopping in a vehicle and however you would tell it to go someplace and have it go. I have yet to watch with my own eyes, although I've seen the advertisements, those cars that park themselves. Have you seen that? Have you seen one of those? Did you see somebody actually do that? How did it work?
Did it do it right?
So I have not seen it, so it actually works. Some of the things, I just can't imagine things that happen, the way things go. I mean, I told you this morning, standing here, I have an artificial knee. How did that happen? My dad suffered for years and years, and not long before he died, they were doing experimental things like that, so he had two fresh knees from the VA. And so he walked the best of his life, the last few years of his life. How amazing the things that people can do. Conversely, if we live a life of luxury, if we don't do things that are good for us or that we should do, we not only get lazy, but it's bad for us. You know, it's good to get out and mow the grass, take a walk, paint the house, do these different things. It's good to have at least a little bit of exercise, right? Even though it may not be any fun at the moment. You may need the extra socks, wear the gloves, go in and take a shower. Appreciate my family doing a bunch of lawn work around here. And all that does is make Dad sneeze for the day. Because I like this grass. We need to do things. We need to be active. We need to, just kind of sit there and push a button and expect everything to happen. For us, the danger is, if we're not careful, we start acting as if that's how our faith works. Our relationship to God can be something we want to make a little bit easier. And this has been humanity's problem since the beginning. We want to have our relationship with God be something that doesn't affect us much, doesn't cause us any problems, lets us still enjoy and do the things we want to do. There's a lot of people who hear a lot of things about Adam in the garden, Adam and Eve, because the Bible says that Eve was less responsible for the sin that took place, even though she's the one that did it first, because she had been deceived, she had been tricked by the deceiver. But Adam, when he knew what not to do, he knew exactly what he was doing when he did the wrong thing. And that's why the Bible tells us that sin came to us through Adam. You and I are people who tend to want to still do what we want and have all the benefits as if we did what we were supposed to be doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 talks to us about the conflict we have with our society and how, if we're not careful, we'll act just like unsaved Joe and Phil down the street. When people without God's indwelling spirit try to judge how believers should live, it's like a deaf man judging music. The Bible tells us the unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Yeah, some of those words are backwards, but you know the verse. Oftentimes, we make the mistake of letting people who do not know God or do not know their Bible or do not practice their faith trying to instruct us on how we should see God, how we should practice our faith, and how we should follow Him and be His disciple. When those people who do not know God put the gospel on trial, it does not pass their judgment. So here's the danger. The danger is, we sometimes do try to follow things that are easier, things that might make us feel good for the moment, and there are easier standards of life if you want to be recognized and judged than those that are found in the Bible. The people talk about living in the flesh. That's how I'm understanding it as it's connecting to our book of Galatians. What is living on the flesh? Romans speaks about it. Now, for those who live according to the flesh, shut their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Means capital S, Holy Spirit. But to set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is most of two benefits, life and peace. It may be a struggle to follow God and obey Him, but the benefits of listening to God and living before Him with a clean heart is that you get to enjoy some of the eternal life God has given you. John 5:34 says we have some of the benefits of eternal life now, and we get peace. You're not in a state of conflict or difficulty with God. But again, it's interesting, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And who does this? Well, the Pharisees. When Jesus was here in the world, He spoke to the Pharisees. My deacon friends, don't be insulted. I heard a sermon one time that I've repeated parts of saying, when you go to church, you wish your deacons were Pharisees. Now, that's not true, but here's the explanation. If you were to take time to look at Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says some, in some ways, backhanded compliments about the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees regularly worshiped, they regularly tithed, they regularly fasted, they read their Bibles, they gave, They did lots and lots of good things. And why? I wish everybody did those things. But the problem was that they set things up as standards for everyone to hold that were things that they could do, but they were not making people disciples of God. They were making people disciples of themselves. Like it says in the handout there on the screen here, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Because you're forgetting what God expects of us, and you want people to be just like you. Is this the problem? The problem is that these folks made up their own rules to live by. Like they did the kids down here, the little stack, the little tower. The Bible tells me that I should love justice. The Bible says I should pursue peace. The Bible says we need to have a good relationship with God. I need to love God. I need to love my brother. I need to serve God. I should serve my Christian friends. The Bible says I should witness. I should become the best disciple that Jesus Christ could possibly have. God has a set of standards for me that sometimes look unusual or look challenging or are not what other people are doing. So there's so many things that are easier to do instead. A guy used to write Bible studies a long time ago, Frith William Robertson said, in all matters of eternal truth, the soul is before the intellect. And this is the point we're making here, because the Bible tells us there are things that look right into a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Just because something makes logical sense doesn't mean that it's right. What logical sense does it mean to put someone else first? What logical sense would it have to share your things with someone who doesn't have as much? What logical sense does it make to put yourself out and leave yourself on an island as the only one who is doing or saying or speaking in a certain way where other people don't? So the soul, the part of you that's related to God, is before the mind, intellect. The things of God are spiritually discerned. You know truth by being true. You recognize God by being like Him. And this is where the book of Galatians comes into play. There's some things in the fire. I'm not going to necessarily explain them in detail now. I'll just give you a perspective. We'll cover things when we go through it. The book of Galatians, I think, was probably written at the end of, or near the end of, or at the completion of Paul's first missionary journey. When you see the word Galatia, it could have a couple of different meanings, and that's why deep down scripture, it affects some things down the road. It affects perhaps the timing when this is written. I think this is writing Paul's very first epistle he ever wrote. I think he very likely wrote this, as I said, at the conclusion of his first missionary journey. It's probably written around 47, 48, 49 AD. That's when I think that these words were put on paper. Paul had started to work on these churches, Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14. Galatia is an interesting title to begin with. If you remember in the Old Testament, when the Israelites had moved in to take the promised land under Joshua, God Himself had distributed where the tribes should go. There was one tribe in Dan who did not like where they were given. They were given in the southern region by the Dead Sea. So they improperly, I think rebelliously, moved, attacked a group of people that they had no fight with that lived near the Sea of Galilee, killed many of them, and took their land. So the Dan tribe moved north from the Sea of Galilee. In about 270 BC, about 50 years after Alexander the Great came on the scene, a group of people who lived in ancient France called Gaul, they were dissatisfied with where they lived. They were Celtic in their ethnic background, and they packed up and decided, we're going to go east until we find a place where we can get some space to live, start over again, grow crops, have animals, have life. And so these Gaulites moved to central and southern Turkey. And they named their community after where they were from. They were Gaulites, or the source of the word Galatians. Galatians comes from that old word Gaul. There were enough of them there that when the Romans took over a couple hundred years later, they named the region for the ethnic group that was the most significant. They named it Galatia, after the Gauls that had moved there a few hundred years before. That's where that name comes from. So when you look at Galatians, I think they're talking about the Roman province that Paul himself had been moving under. The lesson that Paul was given in his missionary journey, and the lesson that these folks needed to catch, was that following God changes everything. And we people do not like to change. If there's a favorite drink you like to have for lunch, if it's not there, where is it? Every time I go down to QFC, because I admit I'm a diet Snapple. Diet peach Snapple liker. Oh, I like my diet peach Snapple. Some people in my family have influence to drink diet peach Snapple. But I think everybody in Redmond watches me go down the grocery aisle, because if you go to QFC today, you go to Safeway yesterday, there's a hole in the drink section. Because everybody else in Redmond has bought all the diet peach Snapple. There is none left. So I still have my Crystal Light grape and I drink it right now. If it's gone, my mom is gone. We're creatures of habit. There's things we like to do, we like to say, we like to wear. And following God can make a very significant change in our lives. Realizing that these early Christians, this first generation of Christians, were mostly Jewish. Why? Well, Jesus was Jewish. Jesus was fulfilling a lot of the Old Testament prophecies that God had made. Jesus has come, he's their king. And if you're going to be a good Jewish person, you know what to do. You know how to follow God's law. You know to observe Passover. You know to not have ham sandwiches. You know to do a lot of things to try to honor God. And they knew what was expected from them in the law. They couldn't do it, but they knew what was expected. So if you compare yourselves to each other, you know, you got your Passover animal ready. Did you put blood on the doorpost? Are you wearing your prayer shawl so that the fringes are visible? Do you have on your yarmulke? Are you doing the right kinds of things? It was easy to show each other that they were doing the right kinds of things. It was visible. But some of these people trusted Christ to save them and became Christians, believers. And now things are a little different. Because now being a believer in Christ means that God is evaluating me based on my faith, my faithfulness to Him. That law keeping is not what earns heaven for me, not that it ever did, but God has a different set of expectations for me. And the Jewishness of Jesus, the Jewish actions and consistencies of Jesus, were things that some people really picked up on and wanted to expand. And since Jesus had said in Matthew 5:17, "Don't think I came to destroy the law and the prophets, I didn't come to destroy but fulfill," surely Jesus wants us to be good Jews first. Because all those other Christians, they were Jews first, and then they came to trust Christ as Savior. But they missed out on other words that Jesus had said. And this is where the early church was in the basis of its conflict. Sometimes people say, "Oh, I wish I lived in the early days of the church. They didn't have any problems." Ha! Ha, 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 ha. Read your Bible more carefully. They had conflicts. They had problems. They had disagreements. God tells us that Jesus came to build his church. It was a new thing. He told the disciples to wait around until the day of Pentecost. Things are going to be happening. And that new group, the church, began. It was not a new form. The Bible speaks about those imagery. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. It's not going to fit. Jesus is starting a new group. So for me, for some of my, some Jewish Christian friends, they will tell me, and they, quote unquote, don't go to church on Sunday. They have a still Sabbath meeting where they add some Jesus things to. And for me, that's always made me scratch my head. Some of my friends, you can disagree with me, some of my friends disagree with me, but if Jesus came to build this new group, the church, and the church is different than being a Jewish person, you don't just make Sabbath services more Christian and talk about Jesus. There seems to be a whole new group. So I always tell my Jewish Christian friends, "How come you still meet on the Sabbath? How come you don't go to church on Sunday like all the other Christians? How come you still observe? I don't understand that." That's just me. But that's what living with this. It's the thing Jesus did when he came and gave himself for us was to start this new group, the church, his bride, the bride of Christ. This was a radical change. And you know what? Not everybody takes change well. Did you know that? Not everybody takes change well. The Apostle Peter had a hard time with some of these changes. You remember? And there was a vision. And you know, God works things together. So often miracles and parables are told in connection they now for a reason. So Jesus is giving Peter some training to open his mind so he can do what God has called him to do. Peter is an apostle, pen of the gospel, witness of Christ. And just before Cornelius, a Gentile, was introduced into Peter's life, remember, Jesus drops down this fabric from heaven filled with bacon and similar things. And so here, Peter has a bacon lettuce and tomato sandwich for the first time. And Peter says, oh, Lord, I know this is a test. We, the Jews, we don't have ham hocks. We don't have Easter ham. We don't have bacon. And Jesus says, what I have called come, okay, don't turn up your nose at me. That's why people have Easter ham, by the way. It's because of, hey, the dietary restrictions are lifted. That's not part of our discipleship. It's part of theirs. So as soon as that fabric goes away, Peter's pondering, all of a sudden a Gentile, who he normally would not have anything to do with, somehow has contact with his life. The early church had big discussions about this. Surely God's word in the Old Testament has some value, doesn't it? We still have questions today. Because the Old Testament does have value. It's written for our guidance and instruction. There's great principles for life to live in the Old Testament. You don't ignore the Old Testament. We've been preaching and teaching from the Old Testament extensively for the last several months. Acts 15 records some summary. We'll get to that eventually as we look in Galatians. But the church is wondering, what do we do with some of these Jewish outlaws? And by the way, Barnabas, meaning the son of consolation, everybody's friend. If you're feeling bad, Barnabas would sit down and talk to you. If you're feeling outcast, Barnabas would make you feel welcome. Remember, it was Barnabas who gave a gift to the early church. It was so popular that Ananias and Sapphira tried to get even more credit and do something else. That what they wanted to do was fine, but they lied about the way they did, and that caused the trouble. Barnabas was also ethnically Jewish in his background. Peter influenced Barnabas to quit hanging around with these Gentiles who say they know Jesus. Because we know that our Master is the Messiah, the Jew. He came to fulfill all these prophecies. He didn't come to the Gentiles. He wasn't born a Gentile. He was born a Jew. Barnabas, you're spending too much time with people who don't think like us. Galatians chapter 2, the last half of that chapter, Paul, the outsider, points his finger at the two of them and says, what are you doing? Don't you realize these battles are already over? Don't you realize you've missed the understanding? Peter had influenced Barnabas to step away from, quote, church as a whole and only hang around with people who thought like him, who looked like him, who talked like him. For us, it's much easier to set up judgments that we're used to. It's much easier to expect people to look like us, talk like us, think like us, like what we do, when they stir their coffee this way, or they stir their coffee this way. It's easier to deal with things where we can find success with. It's hard to do that. It's easier for me to expect people to be like me. It's easier to judge people in ways that don't really affect the gospel message at all. We prefer this. You can't read the cartoon. It says, Lord, please cut down this cross a little bit more. I'll be able to carry it better. Jesus said, bear your cross. Oh, my God, it's just much too hard. Let's chop these things down. Because it's too hard for me to do it. You tell me, God, let me pick some things that I prefer to do. We prefer to kind of adapt and change because, as we talked about before, spiritual discernment, spiritual truth is discerning spiritually. If you want to live for God, you've got to connect with God. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to obey. Sometimes we pray about things, and sometimes maybe we pray too much because God wants us to obey perhaps more than He wants us to pray. And if you didn't obey, then you have to pray for forgiveness and the strength. And that's why if you obey, maybe you don't need to pray so much. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember this? The gospel of Jesus Christ, when Jesus talked to people who wanted to be His disciple, He said, deny yourself. And that right there is not the thing we want to hear. You don't see people on commercials saying, huh, we have this product, maybe you shouldn't have it. Maybe you've got too many of these. Maybe it's too fattening, too expensive, too time-consuming. Maybe this will take you away from your family. Yeah, we've got this, don't worry about it. Forget this ad time we have. Next commercial, please. Nobody tells you to deny yourself, except for God. Again, a great question to talk about. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. That seems to be a Bible principle. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And Jesus tells us plainly, if we're His disciples, there are things that you could do that perhaps you should not. Sometimes we should say no to things that very plainly are not for us. They might be enjoyable, they might be fashionable, others might have them, others might entice us to join them. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Jesus tells the first thing, if you will come after me, deny yourself. It's not bad to enjoy life. I mean, you heard my comments so about hop in the car and drive up to go get rained on in Leavenworth. It's been getting rained on in Redmond. I guess Leavenworth rain is better. The question is, does God approve of my having or doing this? That's the question. Does God approve of it? The gospel of Jesus Christ continues and tells us that God expects us to live for Christ where we are right now. Let me tell you something. If you decide you want to be a missionary, let me tell you what the mission board is going to ask you. Because I've had friends where this has happened to. Someone will say, I believe God has called me to be a missionary. God has called me to be an evangelist. I want to be an evangelist too, and they'll pick someplace. And the mission board has them come in and sit down and says, okay, great, you believe that God is leading you the gift of Christ to His body, the church, and other people. Tell me about the last time you witnessed to someone. Tell me the last time God had you in a place where you got to see someone trust Christ as Savior. And you say, and I know people who have said this, and say, oh, well, I've not done it yet. But I know when I get on the mission field, I know that God will help me to talk to people about Jesus. Isn't it? Meaning you haven't talked to anybody about Jesus? No, not yet. Not until I get out there. Before when I get out there, I know I'm going to be it. Candidate rejected. Because if you're not doing things now, having a title or position or getting paid is not going to magically change you. Did you know that? If you're not doing something now, there's no reason to expect you're going to do it later. And you've heard us say before, statistics say, young people who don't live their faith by the time they're 18, if they don't witness, if they don't go to church, if they don't have a service position, if they're doing something to help somebody else, by the time they turn 18, they're never going to start. We look at people who are doing things as an adult almost always. There are exceptions. We try to get a hold of adults and shake them around, but that's strange because we adults won't like to change. Join me. If young people who start doing things will continue to do that all their lives. If we somehow skip that and avoid it, it's very difficult for us to start. God tells us to take up our cross now. God wants us to live for Him and obey Him now with what we have, not what we wish we had. God, if I had this, I would surely use it for you. And God looks at us and says, well, I didn't give you that. I want you to practice with this first. And we take a kid to the restaurant for the first time, and he asks for an apple juice. And they bring an apple juice, and it's a sippy cup. Why? Because the restaurant doesn't want to clean up the apple juice off the carpet where your child has been sitting. The cracker crumbs they can scoop up, clean up, sweep up, or vacuum, but the apple juice will sit in their stink, and the milk will get sticky, and the sugar will get sticky, and blah, it's terrible. They give you a sippy cup, so the kid can get used to using a sippy cup, and then gradually to be an adult like this so they can spill their coffee. God wants us to get used to what we have now. God has said, didn't Jesus say, if you're faithful in little, it's just as good as if you're faithful in much. And vice versa, if you're not faithful in little, why would God expect to think that you're going to be faithful if He blessed you with much? So take up your cross right where you are. Do what God asks you to. And then it kicks off. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Realize we're followers of Jesus first. I'm not white first. I'm not black first. I'm not a sportsman first. I'm not an engineer first. Mothers are not mothers first. Students are not students first. Or anything else first. The first characteristic that should be true of me is that I'm a follower of Jesus. And that's what should influence everything else about me. Those are the things that characterize me. Don't influence the things I do, but the number one characteristic that should be true about anyone first, if they trust in Christ as Savior, is your discipleship. The gospel should make the greatest characteristic change about you first. We're disciples first, and that should change everything. For us, look at the book of Galatians. What is the book of Galatians about? The book of Galatians is a group of people who heard the gospel, who have been influenced by the Jesus Christ as Savior, and somehow someone came in with a slightly different message and told them things that, this is hard, let me make your faith in Jesus easier. Let me make your discipleship easier. Let me make your day easier. Don't worry so much about God, Jesus, and the Bible. Just keep doing what you're doing, and it's okay. That's what happened. And the rest of this book of Galatians is addressing ways to correct that, to dial that back in, to pull the margins back down, and to get you back not off the road, but on the road. Because it can be very hard to admit we are still in the great need of God every day. You know, people say, oh, they need God. Boy, I know they need God. You know what? I get up in the morning, I need God. I need to read my Bible. I need to pray. And I have devotional books and stuff to help me have the habit to read my Bible, to pray, to realize what I should be doing, what I should be saying, what should I do. We need those reminders. I'm going to tell you, you're going to need those reminders every day the rest of your life. If you're like me, you might not be, but I need those reminders. I need somebody to guide my mind, my thoughts, my eyes, my words, my steps. I need those things. We can be very hard to sometimes admit that we are not the disciples Jesus expects us to be. I've been saying for a long time, well, don't say that because then there's a certain level of expectation God would have of you. Yeah, isn't there? And it can be very, very hard to expose your life to God and let Him take control. Aren't you at least a little bit of a control freak? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. It's our secret is safe, okay? But you're a little bit of a control freak. Let God take control. Let God have sweet course. Liberty and freedom is a big thing in this book of Galatians. Because Paul is going to be saying, if you are free in Christ, then there's nothing stopping you from doing all the things Christ expects. You have no reason for somebody to say no. Let Jesus change everything about you until He makes you more like Himself. More like you've ever been before. And mostly, this is also perhaps difficult to agree with and accept, it's hard not to do what the flesh wants. Why? We are human. God knows that we're human. God knows our feet are clay. God knows our lives are vapor. And we would much easier just do what feels good. First, last, and always. Because if anybody is living for God, that is a supernatural miracle from the Holy Spirit. We don't change God's message. His message changes us. This is what we look at in the book of Galatians. God's message changes us. We don't adjust and adapt this that. God's message changes us. Let's pray, God, help us to love you more than we love ourselves. Father, nobody has to tell us to love ourselves. We do it from the moment we're born. Help us to love you more than we love these things. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.